Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Where do you think people... I blanked. Go.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, calls as promised. We started with the Brady stuff, mixing some Red Sox and U.S. Open stuff to your phones again. Here's Matt in Hanover. Go ahead, Matt. What do you got for us?
Hi. I just wanted to say that about Brady...
Go ahead, on Brady, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's an old phrase that says you kind of are the company that you keep. And I'm just thinking about lately, you know, there's no disputing Tom Brady on the field, but off the field, the guy hangs out with Michael Milken, Anthony Robbins, Donald Trump, Alex Guerrero, and Gisele Bündchen. Are these the people that you would want to be associated with?
Well, I mean... Let's not turn Gisele. I mean, she's annoying, certainly in this contest, because it feels like she's pulling him away from football. But is she a bad person?
No. I got no issue with her on that list.
Right, me neither.
No, the other people, though, I think does give you some insight as to how Brady sort of thinks.
A little bit of a creep show. I mean, Tony Robbins, for sure. Creep show. I mean, and people have mentioned this. I mean, there's a time during that Oprah interview where there's a cutaway. And there's Gisele with the headset on listening and Jim Gray right behind her.
Yeah, what the hell was he doing there hovering around?
Well, because...
Remember to enunciate, Tom.
Well, the timing is, this interview was actually taped right before he went to the Malkin Institute with Jim Gray. So, maybe they were on their way there, or it was part of one little trip, and Gray tagged along or something. I don't know. But it's sort of like, I don't know. I mean, that was a creepy cutaway, you've got to admit.
Totally.
I mean...
What the hell is he doing there?
What the hell? What the hell? And I'm telling you, Gray has got something on these guys, or he just has to. But, yeah, it's sort of turned into a little bit of a creep show. It's not Scientology, but it feels like it, right? Bill in Westford. Go ahead, Bill, on Brady.
Yeah, so just quickly, I don't think this has been raised before. I think it's physical. I think he's probably losing his arm strength or something, and all this stuff is like some kind of a distraction.
What makes you think that?
Because it's like, how did he go from being like a ruthless competitor... You know, one year pushing Garoppolo out, and then all of a sudden he's like, "Oh, I'm all about my family. I want to have fun."
So that's
on Oprah,
right?
He's like a middle-aged guy trying to deal with physical weakness that comes upon you naturally.
Okay, well, that's another theory. I don't see one scintillion of it. I mean, if anything, the on-field stuff has remained as consistent as anything.
No, and I would say that, you know, if he loses a little, that's not going to affect him a ton. I mean, a little bit. You know, if he loses a lot, that's a different story. I don't think he relies purely on arm strength.
So on field, I mean, really, the last 4 years have been pretty consistent. I think if you go dial it back 6 years, you say that there was some slippage there. But since they drafted Garoppolo, he elevated his game, and he's been the same since they drafted Garoppolo. I don't see that. But there is something off the field that has changed in him. There's no question about it. We skip in practices that he's in town for. Like, that's unheard of for him. So what is it? What is it? Is it he's just pissed at Bill, doesn't want to look at his stupid face? Is he leveraging for a contract, which is what I'm beginning to hope? Or did somehow overnight he just say, you know what, I'm actually 41 and maybe this isn't that important, which would be the absolute worst of the three.
I mean, to me, this thing is about they leveraged him with Garoppolo. He got tired of Bill, and that sort of goes hand in hand anyway, because that's how Bill operates. He leverages you all the time, and now Garoppolo's gone, and he says, oh, so what are you going to do now? And he's feeling his oats, and he's being a dink about it. And again, I just think that the move, because again, to me, this is all about the fact that Garoppolo was here and now he's not. And I think this is a weasel move. It's a, you know, if he had some sort of understanding with Robert, and now all of a sudden he's, even if he's just floating it out there just for kicks, that's a dink move, weasel move.
Frank in the car. Go ahead, Frank.
Hi, guys. I was just wondering, if he missed OTAs and he's really worried about family affairs and his health and everything, What's to stop him from, you know, where he used to play through injury? What's to stop him from taking a day, a game or two off to heal up now if the end is near?
Yeah, I mean, if he carries himself into the season the way he's carried in the offseason, then he's going to be a different guy on the field. The question is, does he show up at training camp and flip the switch and be the old Brady that we've always known? First one in, last one out, extra work, extra time, extra effort, the whole thing. Because if he doesn't, if he becomes a guy that just punches the clock at 41, he will get worse. It's impossible to get better at 41 unless you work your balls off.
No, I was just saying, in fact, it probably requires more time.
No question.
Right, it requires more. And if that happens, he'll lose guys on the team. He will. If, like, he's not putting in effort and his play slips, guys will start looking at him differently.
Mike in Framingham on the Open. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, do yourself and your listeners a favor and stop talking about something you know nothing about. The only thing that you're thinking could be compelling about golf is a resurrection of a guy who hasn't won a major in 10 years because he's a superstar. That's all you know about the sports. If there's no superstar there, oh my God, it's a bunch of guys that swing the same. You're morons. You know nothing about the game. If you actually watched it, you might find it compelling.
I didn't say the guys were all the same. Don't let me in.
They're exactly the same. They all the exact same. They all have the exact same country club swing from daddy and their swing coach. They all look exactly the same to me, Mike.
And what you know about golf, we can put on the head of a pin, Felger.
Because
you
it's boring. It sucks.
Completely.
It used to be interesting. It now blows, Mike.
What's that now?
It used to be interesting. Now it blows.
You had a superstar because you know.
No. No. I'm pre-Tiger. I'm not a Tiger guy. I could care less about that.
Never mind. It didn't have to be a Tiger guy. He was a superstar.
Well, that's what you're referring to, right?
Not attracted to the game.
I wasn't attracted to Tiger.
Yeah, there's no superstar anymore in the game. Not one that's going to be competitive any longer. Phil Mickelson's a 48-year-old phony. So you're focusing on him as a fat pig who can't play? Anybody who's watched golf for the last 15 years knows he's done.
Why are you so angry?
I'm angry because you don't know anything about a sport that I spent 4 days over the weekend with my wife and many other people, and we had a wonderful time.
No, you're angry because you just wasted 4 days of your life on something that was hideous. That's why you're angry. Well, that guy's angrier than I am. God bless.
I thought the tournament sucked. You remember the last time they played at Shinnecock? They had to water the green between groups. Because, once we start talking about the USGA, that's the problem.
They all look exactly the same. If you watch golf in a previous generation, I don't know how old you are, caller, but Nicklaus, Trevino, Watson, Kite, go down. They all had different swings and different approaches. They came from different places and different backgrounds, and it was so much more interesting to me than all these guys with the exact same I was going to say outfit. Ricky Fowler wears orange pants. Oh, he's such an iconoclast and such an individual. Why? Because he wears orange pants? Fleetwood, the kid that shot 62 yesterday.
Tommy Fleetwood.
Tommy Fleetwood's got long hair. He's so different. They all have pitcher. Iron Byron. They all swing exactly the same because it's the same thing from the country club and their swing coaches. And you put any bit of adversity in front of these guys, and they crack, like they all cracked over the weekend. The sport blows now. I used to be a huge golf fan. The sport blows.
I'm telling you, there were a couple of tournaments still worth watching. At the very least, you say, well, there's a fun golf course. Like, you can see some shot making, you see some explosions. Augusta's obviously the best. The golf course itself is the star of the tournament, for crying out loud. But the British typically offers the same thing. The British, to me, I like. This thing's a tractor pull, for crying out loud. It's excruciating to watch.
Peter in Acton's been hanging on since we came on with a World Cup thought. It is re-entry Monday, Peter, so go ahead.
Brooks Koepka.
Hey, I just had a thought about the pace of play in the World Cup. I don't know if you've been following it at all, but they had several handballs in the penalty area, and the review was super quick. And they kept the game moving somehow. I don't know if you had been paying attention.
So I haven't, and I tell you, I'm frustrated by it because unless you watch Fox, there's nothing you can see. They don't even let ESPN replay highlights, right? So unless you're watching Fox or FS1, you can't see it. Like, even online, I give up. I'm like, I want to see the clip of this. There was a replay decision that went bang, bang, and blah, blah, blah. It helped decide a match. I started to look for it. I'm like, I can't see. I don't want to look at still pictures. I'm not going to read about it. Where's the video? Where's the video? I can't find the video. F it. I'm done. I'm not going to waste my time trying to search out your video. So that's my frustration with the World Cup. It's only on these two fricocked channels, and I'm sorry, I'm not going to search out the video. So, yep, there was a replay decision. I can't tell you about it because I couldn't find it. And I gave up after 10 seconds because if I can't find it after 10 seconds, I'm done looking.
Yeah, I might pay a little attention when they get out of group play. Then I might be in. Murray, the Belgians beat Panama today. You know that?
Panama.
Murray, tell me two things that Belgians are famous for.
Go ahead.
Chocolate and waffles.
There you go. Exactly right. Chocolate and waffles.
And they hosted a lot of the World War II action. Here's Joe in Lincoln. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, so I have a take on why I think Brady's changed his mind. But first I want to say, I was thinking this. If Brady retires, it's the biggest mistake of his life. There's no, the most competitive, driven athlete. What's he going to do with his time? It's not going to be spending with the kids. That's not going to satisfy that Jones to compete. I'm telling you this right now.
Such nonsense it feels to me.
But here's the thing. I think by making the documentary and by, you know, the documentary is about his kids and his life much more than it is about what's on the football field. And I think after doing that for whatever, however long it took him and everybody seeing it and commenting on it, I think it just gave him some perspective instead of the selfish, spoiled athlete that he is and probably should be because that's why he's so great. He's got other things in his life. So
well, if that's it, that's bad for us, and that's bad for the Patriots. If that's genuine. If he's genuinely, and this, I said this in the first hour, either this family stuff is a total bullcrap leverage ploy, or he had some sort of epiphany in the last year. Because up until this year, I really didn't hear much about his family and having to pick up the kid at practice. I mean,
because it was pressure on.
I listened to the Peter King podcast that he gave last offseason, and there really wasn't much, if anything, on making sure that the kid gets picked up at practice. But now, all I hear is about the time with the family and the family, the family and the family. So either it dawned on him that that's important. He likes his family. He wants to spend time with them. Or he's using it as a leverage ploy against the Patriots because he wants a contract or he wants his trainer back in. It's one of the two.
Yeah, well, or it's the fact that his job was at stake because Jimmy Garoppolo was breathing down his neck. And so he had to stay focused and had to be committed because if he slipped, the next guy was there. And even if it didn't happen in 2017, the guy might have been there for 2018. Again, I don't think this is a coincidence that in the 4 years Garoppolo was there, they went to 3 Super Bowls, they won 2 of them, and the other year they went to the AFC title game. You know, that's a coincidence? All of a sudden, now he's got all this, he's liberated because he's not Jimmy G there. So what does he do? Well, I don't have to work as hard. Yeah, geez, I could take my kid to his game. Huh. I never thought of that before because he didn't have the time to think of it before.
The bait and switch. The bait and switch of Tom Brady in the last year. What has changed? I mean, Maz hit on the big one. The guy that was there to take his job is no longer there. But we continue to explore it with the Oprah interview and everything else on a Reentry Monday right after these words.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Maz.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
You have any goals right now?
I'd like to play till my mid-40s, and then I'll make a decision. If I'm still feeling like I'm feeling today, who knows?
Have you thought about what happens after football for you?
I think about it more now than I used to.
Yeah.
I think now I'm seeing that there's only an end coming sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm. What does that end look like? Is that 43? Is it 45?
Yeah.
Is it?
As long as I'm still loving it.
As long as I'm still loving it? Question mark. Eh. Sooner rather than later. The first cut you heard was with Peter King last offseason, just a year earlier. Called 14 months, 16 months, something like that. The Peter King thing was shortly after the Super Bowl. This is obviously deeper into the offseason. But basically, a year before, he's talking about, I'm going to play into my mid-40s, and then I'll see. Now it's, I think about it more than I ever have, sooner rather than later, as long as I enjoy it. Boy, that was a quick turn. And as has been said, Tommy Kern, I think, said it first, the bait and switch. The bait and switch, which I think is just such bad form on the part of Brady. It's not even funny to tell the team for years, I'm playing to 45. I'm playing to 45. I got all the answers, man. I'm not ending anytime soon. Balls to the wall. This is no end in sight. And then they trade his replacement, and then not even 6 months later, not even a year later. Yeah, I think about it more than I ever have, sooner rather than later. Yeah, it's gone. Like, that is just, that. If I'm Kraft, I'm pissed.
Yeah.
Now, there's two things. Either that's genuine, right? Either he had this epiphany that suddenly family is important, and there's life beyond football, and he really feels that way, which is impossible. In which case, that's really bad news for you, because I don't know if you can reverse that. Or that family thing is just a play. It's a leverage play. Yeah, I got to spend time with my family. My family's important. I got to pick up the kid at practice. So I don't know. I don't know how much longer I'm going to do this. As just a means to get Kraft to the table and give him a new contract and restore Alex Guerrero. And if it's just a negotiating play, then I have less of a problem with it. Like, okay, you know, got to do what you got to do. And I wonder now, and I've even started to wonder if the Pats should just give in to him. Because this thing doesn't feel right. This thing doesn't feel like it's going to end right. If Brady's just going to play out the string like his sort of tone was in this interview, and his tone has been for the last, I don't know, 6-8 months. If that's just what's going to be, then that ain't going to work. That ain't going to end well, and I don't think he'll have a ton of success. He's going to get hurt or something. Like, it's just... So, if you're Kraft, how do you get the old Brady back? How do you get that old enthusiasm back? How do you get him to show up every day to be the first one in, the last one out, that whole thing? Because that's what it's going to take. That's what it's always taken. So, if you're Kraft, how do you get that back? And I wonder, if you give him a contract and you give him a big raise, which comes with extra years, and you just even tack on 1 year, he's got two left, you give him another $30 million guaranteed or whatever it is, and you got to tack on a year to spread out that money. And then at that point, you say to Tom, look, we're committed to you. We're committed to you. We're going to put our money where our mouth is. You'll be one of the top paid quarterbacks in the league. And maybe they give in a little bit on Guerrero. And at that point, if you're Brady, you start showing up again and stop with this nonsense about picking up your kids at practice? I wonder.
Well, who's the head coach?
Still Belichick.
Yeah, no, he's not going to change.
Tom Bill's got a year left. Then he's out.
I need that in writing.
So, like, look, I venture to guess he already knows that. But look, I understand your point. Me, personally, no way. Not in a million years would I do it. Do I rule out Robert doing it? Nope. I think Robert would give him the contract. Do I think Robert's giving him Guerrero? No, because I think that's Bill's call. Look, Bill can't let Guerrero back in there. He can't do it.
I think it's lousy what Tom's done here. It feels like a bait and switch, okay? So, believe me, on that level, I'm not supporting him. But now it's like, what do you do next? What do you do going forward, right? No one wants the team to suck. Whether you've got Brady or Belichick in the thing, it's in no one's interest for the team to suck. So what do you do? If Kraft made a mistake letting Garoppolo go and siding with Brady, I would agree with that. I think he did. So, but you're not getting Garoppolo back.
Right, I understand.
What do you do to get the most out of Brady and get the most out of this?
Yeah, you got to fix it going forward. My only question is, though, like, how do you know
that you've already committed to Brady, so go all in.
Yeah, but how do you know that giving him the contract all of a sudden will get you the greater commitment?
Because it comes with that conversation. It comes with Tom. Okay, here we are now, and it comes with Tom's word, but it's, we're going to give you the money, you're going to add on an extra year, and you're going to give us good faith, old school Brady commitment here for the next 2 to 3 years. And that's the trade-off. And it's with Tom's agreement. It's not in writing necessarily, but it's man-to-man between Kraft and Brady, who have that relationship. Tom, we're taking care of you here. I'm going to see what I can do on Guerrero, but if I'm going to take care of you here on the contract, we need you all in again.
Okay, shouldn't that conversation have already happened? In other words, don't you think they had that conversation before they let Garoppolo go? And how did his word hold up then? So, and again, I'm making assumptions there. I'm just, to me, the reason why Brady played better over the last 4 years, because his job was at stake. Because it was someone there willing to take it. So the only way you're going to, it feels to me like, you know, and look, this doesn't make him different than a lot of people. Sometimes you have to be negatively reinforced. That's the way it works. So to me, if they want to get the most out of Brady, they should probably draft the next guy.
So there's still some of the old Brady lurking in this Oprah interview that is still sort of there. And I don't know. I mean, play B, Jimmy. Play that B cut.
From the outside, it looks like you have an insatiable drive. Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm.
To be the best I can be, you know, not to be the best what anyone else thinks, just to be the best I can be. Why am I still playing now? Because I feel like I can still do it. And I think I'd look back at something that I love to do, and why should I stop? I talk about it with my wife all the time. You could ask her tonight. She'd be like, I told him, why? What more do you want? And I said, because I love it. It's just, I love it.
So he keeps going back to this. Giselle's still asking him, how come you keep doing this? And you still got to tell her why he's doing it. Which is, again, I would just say, it's my job. I got to go to work, Giselle. I have a job. Like, that started to bug the crap out of me, that he feels like he's got to bend over and kowtow to the wife asking, why do you keep going to work? Because I have a job. I'm sorry.
It's easier said than done. She makes more money, though, Mike. It's a tough situation.
Okay, but anyway, I didn't like the pause there. You know, do you still have an insatiable desire?
Yeah, he did that a couple times in this interview.
Yeah.
You know, there was I didn't like the pause, but
even a yeah is kind of mealy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe it is. You're right.
Yeah.
No, it sounds like me talking about the Red Sox weekend.
Yeah. It is. Which is like, again, so Jimmy, play Peter King. Play the Peter King cut. Play Peter King, please. Number two. Listen to how. So this is a year before. Okay. So you're right, Jimmy. Sort of like, do you have an insatiable desire? It's like, pause. Yeah. Listen to him just a year ago with Peter King about, I got the answers to the test, baby.
I was joking my wife earlier this week. She said, oh, great, babe. Now you can retire because I know, you know, you always wanted to win another Super Bowl.
So just stop.
And
it's like a year later, she's still with the one you're going to retire.
I mean, this is the other battle going
on. So look, like, I'm aggravated with her, but...
No. It's him. It's not her.
It's really also on the I would say the man, but whatever, on the other party who has a job and a life, to say to the other party, man or woman, husband or wife, this is my life. It's what I've devoted my life to. Quit telling me to quit, unless I want to. If you don't want to be married to a football player, don't marry a football player. Like, that's aggravating. Support your spouse in what they've chosen to do. Quit undermining with the constant questions about quitting. Stop it. And if you're the other spouse, if you're the man or the wife, and then they're giving it to you, tell them to put a sock in it. Enough. I have a job. God, that's starting to bug me. Like, it's not even my marriage. I'm like, would you stop already with the harping on him? God. But anyway, listen to his enthusiasm. So Giselle's been harping at him forever. Listen to his response to his wife a year ago.
I was joking my wife earlier this week. She said, oh, great, babe, now you can retire because I know, you know, you always wanted to win another Super Bowl. And I said, you know what? It's just not to her. I said, yeah, no chance. But I said, this is actually when it's really fun. You know, I think
you mean when you're doing it when nobody expects you to be able to do it?
No, I think doing it when you've had the mental experience to be able to play for as long as I've had, and my body still feels like I'm in my 20s because I've got the answers to the test now. You can't surprise me on defense.
I mean, listen to how enthusiastic
he is. He's jumping out of his skin.
Yeah, he is. He's enthused. There's no question about it.
So to me, what the big difference is just the tone. You know, the tone over the last 6 months has been, you know,
football.
I don't know. Yeah, you know, I got family. I got, and you asked him just a year earlier, and he's jumping out of his skin to tell you, no, gee, this is when it's fun. I got the answers to the test.
There isn't a defense that can beat me.
Like, and this is all changed after they traded Garoppolo, which
is unbelievable.
The absolute worst part. I have no problem with Brady feeling this way. Just show us your true feelings last year when you still had the replacement, and then you can make a judgment based on that. Here's where Brady truly is, how he's truly approaching this. The family pressures, all that stuff is here, and now here's Garoppolo, and we'll make the choice. Instead, Brady feeds him this load of nonsense about, I'm playing to 45, I've got all the answers, I feel like I'm in my mid-20s, this ain't ending anytime soon.
Sold him a bill of goods.
Like, that's aggravating.
It is. He sold, like I say, a bill of goods, not that Tom Brady isn't still, you know, probably the best quarterback in the league and all of that. I just think it's such a weasel move. It like, to me, I've said this to you before. I have lost so much respect for Brady during this offseason. I have lost a ton, really, since the Garoppolo deal. I have lost a ton of respect for Brady. Doesn't mean I don't think he's the greatest quarterback of all time. Doesn't mean I want to get rid of him. Doesn't mean any of that.
Is it too late? Is it done? Is it too far gone? Because I don't think it is. I don't think it is.
So wait, when you say too far gone, you
meaning if Robert gives him a new contract, do you think that'll wake him up a little bit?
See, I'm not convinced of that. I think he's 41 or going to be 41 soon, and I think Garoppolo's gone, and Tom's starting a downshift. That's what I think.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think what I've alluded to a lot in you know, in the docuseries was there's other things happening in my life, too. You know, I do have kids that I love, and I don't want to be a dad that's not there driving my kids to their games. And, you know, I think kids, you know, my kids have brought a great perspective in my life, you know, because kids just want the attention. You better be there and be available to them.
It's funny, I didn't hear much of that with Peter King the year before. I mean, it's true, makes him a good person, good dad, all of that. I just didn't hear that much until this offseason. Back to the phones, as promised. Doug in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Doug.
Yeah, finally last night when I'm watching Sports Sunday, someone hit the nail right on the head. Take a look at Brady's facial expression after he throws for 505, gets knocked on his ass, and he's looking out into the distance, and he's saying to himself, what did I just do this for? So that guy on the sideline can put Malcolm Butler on the bench and rob me of a championship. Go straight ahead to the Jim Gray interview. How does any company appreciate its employees? It's in your paycheck. Tom Brady's too prideful of a guy to ask for a new contract. I think the Malcolm Butler decision killed his enthusiasm, and add that to being underpaid. Now it's about the money. If Belichick can get away with the Malcolm Butler situation, now it's about the money. Brady can't turn the page because his enthusiasm's been killed. If Kraft says 25 this year, 27 next year, Bill's going after this year, I think that would do it.
See, I think you might get him back. And it's not about the money per se. It's about what it represents.
Sure. Yeah, the love.
And usually when athletes say that, that's bull crap. It's about the money. But Brady might be one of those rare ones. You know, they're worth hundreds of millions of dollars, where it's really more what it represents. That we're committing to you. We're giving you what you deserve because it's time to do that. And again, that comes with an agreement that you're all in. You're not one foot out the door punching the clock like it looks like this offseason. We do this, we get the old Brady. And I don't know. I'd at least try it. Because what's another $10, $20, $30 million when it's a $2 billion organization and it all rides on this guy?
Yeah, I just don't know that it's going to get to the response that you want it to get. Like, that's the part that to me is, so it's just as simple as giving a guy more money? Like, that doesn't work with everybody. And I don't think it's going to work with Brady.
No, but it's not just that. Again, it's the means to the end of, we're committing to you, you're committing to us, we're going to put a finite amount of time on this, this is what we've done for you, what we want to do for you, you'll commit to us, we'll commit to you, and it's all part of this package.
Okay, but wasn't the trade of Garoppolo supposed to indicate that?
Not enough, obviously. Let me make a prediction for you. That if this does get squared away, and they do get their head squared on straight, it'll come with a contract extension. And it'll be a part of it. It'll be a part of the whole thing. And if there's no contract extension, and this just continues to list, you know, sort of, it just considers to peter to the end, then they're porked.
Yeah, Kraft might give him a contract. He shouldn't, though.
Ray and Revere. Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, Michael, I grew up watching Jack Nicklaus and Tom Watson, but you forget, those are country club kids, too. You're looking through the past, they're rose-colored glasses. There are just as many country club kids then than there are, as there are now.
Oh, no, sir.
Hey, but they all aren't iron bar and swings, man. Take a look at Patrick Grady. He plays a power draw. He came from a middle-class family. And
I'm sorry, what's his name?
Patrick Reed.
Patrick Reed, I'm sorry. Yes, Masters.
He made a run yesterday, okay? He came up short. But he's a compelling guy. Did you see him in the last Ryder Cup? It was the best Ryder Cup I've ever seen, okay? I just think that technology has changed the sport. I mean, you should be griping about not seeing skinny little guys running around like Bjorn Borg and John McEnroe in tennis anymore because the rackets are so big.
Oh, yeah, I'm done with tennis, too. For the same reason. I don't find the personalities nearly as compelling.
You know, but
don't pretend that there is the variety on tour like there used to be. That's not even close, and you don't even believe that, right? You know that's not true.
No, there's definitely not the variety. But you know what? Like, it's not even that part of it. The part about the earnings, that part's indisputable. These guys make so much money before they even step on the tee. They make a ton. That is a huge difference between what it used to be.
Just by being a top 20 finisher, you're all set. You're all set with the logos you wear on your hat and the logos you wear on your clothes. You don't need to win a single tournament. And that is a total difference. And Trevino used to talk about all the time about, you know, the pressure. Pressure's a putt on 18 to win the Nassau to put food on the table. Like, a totally different approach.
I mean, look at Rory McIlroy. Rory McIlroy was, what, plus 10 or something in this stupid-ass tournament? He didn't show up.
Makes no difference to him whether he wins or loses.
Oh, gosh, it's ridiculous.
We've got Cam and Taunton on the golf. Go ahead, Cam.
Hey, see, I don't actually mind the U.S. Open. I actually like seeing these guys have to struggle and grind their way out and find a way to win despite the fact, you know, you're not going to make a lot of birdies. Fox's production of this thing is so freaking atrocious. A, Joe Buck's not meant to do golf. I'm sorry. He's not meant to do much of anything, never mind golf. I don't know why they continue to put him out there as their lead golf broadcaster. And Azinger and Faxon are beyond use. Azinger's commentary is always the same thing. The great players get their long irons low and their short irons high. I mean, that's his commentary every tournament, every time. So at least in other productions, you have CBS, who has Faldo, an all-time great. Nance knows what he's doing. NBC, you got Miller and Hicks, and Faraday was entertaining. Fox's production of this is atrocious.
Okay. I watched a portion of it where they really dug into on Saturday how the course had turned unfair, and they were so petrified. Buck and Azinger were so petrified of saying anything to piss off the USGA that it was like, why are you guys even talking? Go back to the play-by-play, because you're giving me absolutely nothing. And you could just tell that they were so hamstrung by not wanting to upset the rights holder that, again, it was just, you guys, stop talking, because you're not saying anything.
Sure. Like, again, but to me, once the conversation turns to the USGA, the thing's a lost cause. Like, really? I want to sit here and talk about the USGA? That's why I tune into a golf tournament? And this, to me, is what the USGA doesn't get. Like, really? You think I want to see the golf course, like, putts roll off the top? Like the top of a car? You suck. I don't want to talk about you. I want to talk about the players.
So, Reentry Monday, everything on the board. We got to Red Sox. We got to all the Brady stuff, the bait and switch of Tom Brady, the change of tune from last year. Your thoughts on that? We got some Kyrie Irving stuff coming up next hour as well. What else? What else am I missing? Oh, a Bruins minute. A Bruins minute. Guess who the Bruins are fielding calls on? They're getting calls on a certain player. And if I'm them, I am answering that phone. I'm answering that phone. I'll give you that story again right after these words.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, so Reentry Monday. Everything's on the board. So I'll give you a little Bruins minute here. NHL draft is at the end of this week, and stuff has started to happen across the league. The league year starts, I think, July 1, so free agency starts soon. It's like the NBA. This is all coming in the next week or two. Going to be a lot of player movement. There's actually been a big trade already. Happened over the weekend. Habs traded Alex Galchenyuk to is it Arizona for Max Domi? Something like that. They just took what most observers would see as sort of a step back in talent. Domi's not quite considered the player that Galchenyuk is, I don't think. Galchenyuk is a 30-goal scorer. This Domi's never scored more than 16 or 17, something like that. I think I have those numbers right. They may be off just a little bit, but an interesting trade. A lot of really crazy rumors about Galchenyuk the last couple of years up in Montreal. So,
in terms of off-ice stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Off-ice stuff, yes. So they're so prodigious, even Murray's heard of them. So, yes, the dismantling up in Montreal continues. So, stuff's already starting to fly. This was on a Buffalo radio station on Friday. Darren Dreger, TSN up in Canada, is on in Buffalo. And he's calling in on what I can only assume is some sort of Skype earpiece hanging cord sort of setup. So, hopefully when this was over, someone took Darren Dreger out back and slapped him across the face with a moist sausage. Because these people should be severely punished who talk to you on devices such as these. So, not my fault that the sound quality sounds like this, but I just want you to hear what Darren Dreger said to the folks up in Buffalo.
You slap him with a hot dog.
Go ahead.
Don Sweeney is looking to be pretty active, and he's had at least a couple of conversations with Ilya Kovalchuk's agent about that possibility, and I guess the fit would be the replacement of Rick Nash, who they acquired at the trade deadline, as long as the term is right. And it seems more likely than not that Kovalchuk is going to command at least 2 years. So we'll see which direction Boston moves. And, you know, I know that there are teams calling on David Krejci as well. And the Bruins would like to move Backes. I think they're, again, a little reluctant to consider trading David Krejci, but every player has a price tag. So I think we need to look at Don Sweeney, the GM of the Bruins, as being perhaps a team and a GM who could be very active in the days ahead.
Okay, a lot there. It was ostensibly a question about Kovalchuk, but he goes into teams are calling on David Krejci, which really piqued my attention, and they'd like to move on from David Backes. That, to me, isn't much of a shocker.
I mean, right, that's an easy one, right? If you can get a taker on him, you do it.
I thought that if you would get a taker on David Krejci, you'd do it. Now, obviously, the hang-up there, he's got a full no-movement clause. Now, I think DuPont said, as he goes on in his contract, there's a limited no-movement where there's a list of teams that he would agree to be traded to and da-da-da-da-da. But David Krejci is your highest-paid player. He has 3 years left at 7.25, again, your highest paid player. And I feel like the arrow is pointed down. I think the David Krejci thing has, in my opinion, reached its end. It's done. I thought last year was the last chance for him to sort of show that, you know, the guy that always played better against better competition, always played well in the playoffs, always put up points in the playoffs, and was always a big part of your success when you moved forward in the postseason. Last year, he went into the postseason with a good team, good health. They gave him Rick Nash, and I didn't see it out of David Krejci. So I think now's the time. Teams are calling on David Krejci. Feels like an opportunity. Even though he has a no-movement clause, a no-trade clause, that doesn't mean you can't trade him. He just has to agree to it. And often what happens here is if you approach David Krejci and say, we have a trade worked out for you, would you approve it? Even if David Krejci doesn't want to go to that team and shoots it down, he's still hearing from the team, oh, they don't want me?
Right, we don't want you anymore, right.
Well, I don't want you. Let's work on this. And so those no movements shouldn't be as ironclad as they appear. It should be, well, look, is this still the right fit for you? Because we don't fully believe in you. You might need a fresh start. So if there's teams really interested in David Krejci, that's one they absolutely have to look at.
Oh, of course, just to clear the money. I mean, I would do that. To me, all of those scenarios, like I look at it and say, would I move Krejci? Yup, Backes is easy, as you said. I don't love the idea of a 2-year deal with Kovalchuk, but tell me what the money is.
Oh, I hate it. I hate it.
So like, you know, I mean, this to me, this is where I say the same thing about the NBA. This time of year gets fun. Like, you get the draft coming up, the start of the free agency, the business year of these teams. Teams are making decisions to build their rosters.
But Drager says a team that looks to be very active. How do you feel about that? Like, they're going to make major moves or change the major DNA? I mean, trading Krejci is a major DNA kind of move of the team. You're really changing your team. And I think they should do it. But, you know, you hear about rumors about in on Noah Hanifin and what that would take to make that sort of move. Getting calls on David Krejci. Will you entertain them? Ilya Kovalchuk. Like, these are major moves. With the direction of the team, do you feel they should have a very active offseason like that?
Yes, I do. Yes, because they get a million young players and they're not going to be able to pay them all and play them all. So you get, and this is to me again, you got to pick the right ones and make the moves, but you have a real chance here now. You had a good year last year, and so it came a little bit quicker. But don't just sit back now and let the thing evolve.
It scares me. I almost want them to sit back and let it evolve.
No, see, I don't, because I don't think they're good enough.
Maz, their NHL moves continue to suck.
Sure.
I mean, yeah. Sweeney goes out and makes a major move at the trade deadline, and I'm sorry. The Rick Nash thing was a disaster.
Sure.
You gave up a first-round pick, and he really didn't do much for you. He scored a couple goals in, I think, that first Tampa game of the Tampa series. But other than that, what kind of impact did this guy have? Almost a zero. And you go through the years, their NHL moves, really a lot more bad than good. I'm still not sold on Sweeney Neely. I mean, I still think they have something to prove. What I'm confident in is they're drafting and developing. It feels like they got something going on there. And so if they sit tight, let it evolve, draft and develop their guys, I feel confident in that approach. But any sort of NHL move that they make involving NHL pieces and NHL money and things like that, I'm still sort of leery. There's no track record there with these guys.
Yeah, so look, again, but I just don't know. One of my concerns with them is I look at a lot of the players they've acquired and their forwards. A lot of those guys are smaller. You start getting into the postseason, they're going to get pushed around. Like, I don't think they're good enough.
They have some bigger guys coming.
Okay, so again, at the moment, I don't think they're good enough. And I think that particularly on the back end. Now, look, I don't know what's going to happen with Carlo. But, like, if you can go get a Hanifin, why wouldn't you do that?
So that I'm into. That's a guy they wanted to draft 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and they couldn't swing the deal at the draft table. But that's a guy that they had targeted a long time ago. As a young player, he's still, I don't know, 22, 21. He's young. So, like, I'm okay with that because that sort of falls into a more of a draft and development sort of move. That's just my only reluctance. I think at the NHL level, they are still unproven and have had way more bad moves than good. So there's your Bruins thought.
I generally don't like the idea of just standing pat. That's all. And just waiting. Like, to me, there's still things you can, there's always things you can do to improve your team.
Okay. Things are picking up on that level. You want to weigh in on that? The Red Sox, the Open, Brady and Oprah. That's our main focus. That too. Right to your phones. I promise after Murray's update here, no commercials.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.